Before we launch into this episode, we have a quick message from our guest today. Tanim is the co-founder of Golden Touch Academy, and they're offering their Money Mastery program in September. You'll hear about it in the episode as well. The dates are Saturday 10th, Sunday 11th, and Saturday 17th and 18th of September. It's all online, it's loads of value, and it's really something to change your mindset. The guest talks about it during the episode as well, so have a listen, and if you're interested, register and get your tickets ASAP. We've put a link in the show notes. If you use our link, not only do you get a huge discount, but you're also able to support our podcast project. Thank you very much. Enjoy the episode.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of the Middle West Podcast. You are joined by myself. Yes, I am actually hosting. I actually am properly hosting because Thaqib's usually trying to hog the mic.
And this is unacceptable. Just character assassination.
But anywho, come on, Thaqib, let me carry on. Let me get into the flow of things. So yeah, I'm joined by my co-host Thaqib.
Assalamu alaikum.
And Hamda.
Alaikum assalamu alaikum.
Who has joined us from Birmingham? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve her of her pain. And we are joined by
it's a good city. I don't understand why you're coming from Birmingham.
Come on, we all know why. Come on. There's only one group of people who ever like Birmingham, and that's Brummies, and that's it. we're joined, inshallah, by actually an esteemed guest, a guest who, mashallah, needs no introduction, actually, or maybe he does. we have with us Brother Tanim, inshallah, someone who actually I have been following for a while as well, ever since my university days. During my days as FOSIS chair, I was engaging with LSE ISOC quite a bit, and everyone from LSE ISOC was always talking about this person called Tanim the Great. So, welcome to our podcast.
The Great Dictator. Thank you for having me. Jazakallah khair.
And why don't you just kind of go in and tell us a bit about yourself and.
As you mentioned, studied at LSE, and I was heavily involved there with the Islamic Society, a bit too heavily, which led me to fail a few exams, as it happens sometimes when you're not able to balance things out. But alhamdulillah, it gave me a chance to spend more time at uni and explore various things, and that's kind of when I started thinking about careers, life, long-term, business, freedom. And I started seeing people at my peers who obviously were a few years ahead of me because I took a gap year and I failed a couple of exams, sort of disappearing into the city. Very active people, very inspiring people. They just go and disappear and they get stuck for the next 30, 40, 50 years. And then I thought to myself, am I heading in the same direction? And sort of that's when I decided to try to play it differently. So took a gap year where I decided to do a little bit of traveling, learn some Arabic, and try to start a business.
And where did you travel to?
Malaysia, Singapore, China, and Thailand. I was invited for a wedding from a friend from LSE in Malaysia, and then we just basically went around a little bit on a very limited student budget.
Very nice. You made the most of it.
Alhamdulillah, Allah provided. There's a really interesting story about that, where I didn't have enough money actually for spending money. I just about had enough for my ticket. And then subhanAllah, 3 days before the flight, I get a check in the post. And it was a refund from the student loans company because I never took any loans with them. And I don't know. So
they still took some money from you.
Money from you, can you believe it?
They were like sneakily taking it out of your account.
SubhanAllah. So yeah, it's literally like a check through the post, divine intervention to allow me to be able to eat while I'm abroad. But yeah, so 5 years on, I'm still on that gap year. Meaning that alhamdulillah, I haven't had to go back to like a corporate career. And the first 3 years were very, very difficult. And recent times, alhamdulillah, I've got a little bit more stability, had lots of growth and mentorship. And alhamdulillah, recently started my small little family. And
inshallah.
Now on a mission, inshallah, to free up more talented Muslims from the shackles of the corporate world.
So I mean, when you talk about the shackles of the corporate world, so I think we're kind of conditioned into this, you know, you get a big school. I mean, you had a big name degree. You're set for corporate success.
From when I was about this big, my dream was to become an investment banker and to go to LSE. Secondary school, I was dreaming and aiming for these things, right? And it's, like you said, it's programmed into us from a very young age.
How did everyone around you take it? Like, especially like your family, your parents, were they like, what the hell is going on? This gap year has gone on for long enough.
Incredibly disappointed because while I was before uni, alhamdulillah, I was accepted onto a program with Deloitte. So even before uni, I'm on my way to, you know, the financial sector of London. I've got a job in the city. And then throughout uni, I did lots of internships. I worked in banking. I worked in tech. Alhamdulillah, I got some good experience. And obviously, everybody expects you to then go on and join that industry and, you know, get the 40, 50K salary. And when that didn't happen, and instead of that, I was sitting at home on my laptop working on this business that wasn't making any money, everybody thought I lost my marbles. The biggest disappointment for me was disappointing my mom, who for a long time has worked, made lots of sacrifices, and the dream has always been for her to finally retire and not need to work anymore. But here I am where I should be working and earning 50K. I'm here trying to do this entrepreneurship thing. So that was very difficult.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is, I mean, obviously you took a pay cut temporarily. Do you think you're ever going to make that much money that you could have if you continued down that corporate trajectory? You think you'll ever make up that financial hit that you took?
As an employee,
I mean, I think generally, right? So in our podcast, we have one of the guys.
I'm going to shift some paradigm here. As an employee, okay, you'll make, what, 50, 100K a year? In business, you can make that in a month.
Yeah.
So that is the difference. And that's why I think we're in the completely wrong game. Imagine putting the effort, study, and sacrifice that we do in education and careers. Imagine putting that in business under someone's mentorship.
Okay.
We could be going a lot further.
So this is kind of your, I mean, if you look at your big billionaires, you're not going to make $1 billion working a corporate job. You're never going to make $1 billion. But is it kind of, because I guess there's two things, right? For a lot of people who they're going to business, they're like, look, the corporate sellout world, the corporate slavery world, that's not my motivation. I don't really care about money and that type of stability. I want to go and actually do something different. But actually what you're saying is it's fine to be motivated by money, but you can make more money this way. The way I see it,
business is actually not only a perfect platform to make an impact in the world at scale, more than you can in employment. And it's also the ideal vehicle to allow you to have flexibility in your life. And it allows you to amass wealth because you're breaking the relationship between time and money. So you're no longer selling your time for money. And the moment you break that relationship, the sky's the limit. And of course, I'm not trying to sell a pipeline dream here that everyone's going to become a millionaire if they start a business. But I would rather make $40,000 a year working 3 hours a day on my business that I'm truly passionate about than make $60,000 in a job where I am completely depressed, completely disengaged, and completely... and my potential is limited in that. And I would have to do that for a very, very, very long time.
The thing is, going back to your days, you know, when you were a student, when you're kind of retaking a lot of your exams and you had your fellow peers who had kind of, as you mentioned, you know, they washed their way into the corporate cycle, I guess. What was like the main drive that you thought to yourself, okay, no, I want to be working towards financial freedom. I want to be working towards doing whatever I want. What was like the main drive that said, I want my life to be more about just working? So what kind of pushed you over?
It comes, I think you all will relate to that. And is that, you know, we as active young Muslims who are trying to do something positive, are trying to make a contribution, you don't want that contribution to finish after graduation. And after graduation, you know, when you go into these really amazing jobs, and alhamdulillah, there's nothing wrong with having a job. It just depends what you want out of life. Mm-hmm. When you go into these jobs, your opportunity to contribute becomes very, very limited. And if you, on top of that, you lay a family and all these other responsibilities that we have growing up, it becomes very difficult. And I can understand why people disappear from the activism scene after they get that amazing job, right? And guess what they're doing when they're at work? They're dreaming about being able to leave and do the activism full time. So now business allows you to do one of two things. Either be able to earn enough with working almost part-time, so then you can focus the rest of your time on the activism and on the contribution, legacy, mission, whatever you want to call that. So it can free up that time for you to go and do that. Mm-hmm. Or you can do that full-time and just figure out a way to and pay your bills, which is what I'm doing with the Golden Touch Academy. It is my mission, it is my goal to help Muslims with financial freedom, with financial literacy, with coaching and mentoring, and helping them achieve their potential. Now, I could choose to do that as a charity, which means that I still need to work somewhere to pay my bills, or I can figure out a way for this to become a commercial, which means that I can not only just focus my full self onto this for the rest of my life, but also build on it and increase the work that we do and build a team and an organization around it. So that's the power of business for me. And in our community, business has certain connotations. It's risky, you have to be dodgy, it's difficult to be honest and all of these things. But truth is, business is the most amazing thing. You know, I wonder, you know, how many of the big figure, the big scholars, the big giants of our history, the Sahaba, the prophets, how many of them were employees?
You said something really cool there, like about risks. Like, I find it risky going into something where it may not pay off in terms of financially anyway. So what would you say to people who are in that sort of tippity thing where they're like, do I jump in with all, like, both feet, or do I sort of take a step back and just be an employee for a year or two, and then you get comfortable being an employee and then the entrepreneurial mindset just goes away? I mean, what would you say to them, like, saying I can't take the risk?
My advice, and by the way, I'm only speaking to young ambitious individuals who want more from life. If you're happy being a doctor, if you're happy being an engineer, if you're happy being a lawyer or a pilot or a software engineer, alhamdulillah, fantastic. Keep at it, be good at what you do, and be good to your family, and be, you know, make sure you do your five a day, right? But if you want more from life, then you gotta make some sacrifices somewhere. And what I would say is, after uni, go into a job, but don't go with the intention to stay. Go with the intention to learn. And in the evenings and weekends, don't run around running Islamic events and doing activism. Focus on paving your way to freedom. So start on a side business and let's see where that goes. It may grow to the point where it makes sense for you to jump full time from job. Mm-hmm. It may not go anywhere, which is fine. You still have your full time job. So let's play it safe. Let's be pragmatic about it. Let's not do what I did, which is a bit crazy, which is forget the corporate world, forget being employed. Let me figure this entrepreneurship thing out. It's very...
Do you think, was it that... I mean, I guess some of the things are... I think maybe you had... Or I guess actually, I don't know. Did you have the luxury of being able to do that? Because some people are kind of... I think you said as well that you were under a little bit of pressure from family to kind of send money back and that kind of thing. And for some people, I guess that's overwhelming.
Our family, we're not financially comfortable. We were not financially comfortable. Single mom, just me and my brother. I was at uni for 5 years, right? Can you imagine? No loans. So I didn't have any financial help. I had to work. I've been working since I was 17. I had some sort of part-time work or side hustle. I've been hustling a bit longer than that, since probably secondary school. So if there's anyone who should have gone into a 50K job, that should have been me because of that pressure. and that expectation. And you know, it's not easy. And my mom is a nurse, so she works very long hours, night shift, the whole works. Mm. It would have been easy for me to go into a 50K job and say, "Mom, go part-time now." But what I was going after was something even better than that. Mm. I want to be able to say, "Mom, go part-time. Actually, don't need to work anymore. And now I have all the time that you need. Let's go do something. I'm not in an office stuck somewhere. Let's go do something. Whenever you want, wherever you want." And that's where our mindset is a bit limited. We think, we don't think outside the box. If my mom calls me any day, any time, I can be with her within 5 minutes. Doesn't matter, because I work from home. I work from home. Whereas if my brother was to get that call, he has to wait till he's,
off the clock.
Off the clock. And then he has to travel an hour to come back from central London to where we live. And then he might be able to do something there. So there's these benefits, and now she's realizing 5 years on, now she's slowly realizing, now I get why you did it. She gets it now.
Because the thing, as you mentioned, for example, like there's also like external pressures, family pressure especially. And the one kind of criticism I usually do hear from people who do try and kind of create businesses, parents saying, "How are you working if you're on your laptop at home?"
They don't see you actually working on the screen. They just feel like you're sitting down in your bed. What are you doing?
Absolutely. Which and to be fair, I mean, my parents, my dad had probably more. My mom still doesn't understand exactly what I do. She still doesn't, because it's difficult for them to really get their head around that. I can send a few emails out, and suddenly we've raised some capital for a project. It's difficult for her to get head around it. And to be fair, they don't need to know everything as well, because they might get stressed if they're hearing, "Okay, Tanim, you're taking on a 400K project. You don't have the funding for it. You're looking to raise it or whatever." Not that this is a realistic scenario. They might get stressed and worried, like parents do. Like at the moment, I'm refurbishing a property. And I'm doing it with an investor money. And, she would freak out if she was hearing this type of stuff that we're doing in that property, right? So you don't always have to say everything to everyone for their own good.
But I guess the question is, how are you not freaking out, right? Like, it's one of those, I guess, do you think it's a mindset thing that, if I'm in a corporate job, a lot of the time, you'll take a call that's a little bit risky, but you think it's the right call, but you take it because ultimately you've got the backing of whoever the business owner is. But the reality is they're the ones who are going to make the profit as well. But how are you not kind of, your brain isn't just like freaking, like you're just sitting here doing a podcast when you've got a 400K.
Yeah. It's 100% mindset. And our mindset has been designed from a very young age to don't make mistakes, don't take risks, follow instructions, don't step out of line.
When you say our, do you mean like as children of immigrants or immigrants ourselves more, or do you mean like generally?
Everyone who goes to the schooling system.
Okay.
Everyone who goes to the schooling system. That's what we're taught, that it's bad to make a mistake. And in business, the best way to learn is through mistakes. Mm-hmm. We're told not. There's a lot of things that subconsciously become part of our mindset and the way we see the world. And which is the reason why we run our flagship program is a 2-day program, and it's all about mindset. We're reframing the mindset of young Muslims to make them understand and see the world, money, time, and their life a little bit differently.
Well, and sorry, is that the Money Mastery program?
Money Mastery, yeah. Alhamdulillah, yeah.
Okay, very nice. We'll come back to that at the end, and we'll put some concrete links in our show notes as well, so the listeners can check it out if they want.
I think what I want to do is I want to ask, how does someone get out of that mindset that the education has put us in to avoid risk and to not be entrepreneurial, if you want to say it like that? Because we don't want to maybe go to these courses because we don't have access to them, or we don't even know they exist. And then all these motivational videos online on YouTube don't really do anything. So what would you say to Gen Z and millennials who are sort of wanting to build that mindset, but don't know where to begin?
I think first and foremost, so hopefully some of the work we're doing might help with that. But apart from that, you need to seek out company, the right company. Because if you're surrounded by employees who are quite happy doing what they're doing, or they're just resigned that this is the what my life is going to be like for the next 30 years, you're going to start thinking that that's normal. But if suddenly you're surrounded by, you know, a 17-year-old who's trading online or something, and a 25-year-old who's got a massive e-commerce business, and then a 30-year-old who basically retired early because he sold his business, you're suddenly, your worldview is completely different. Suddenly you're like, okay, your whole paradigm is different. So company makes a massive, massive difference. So seek out company of those who either have what you want, or at least are in the same journey as you. And that's the reason why we actually created a community around, which is the business school. We can talk about that later. But again, community is important, that support is important, the mentorship is important, the coaching is important, learning is very, very important. And there's so much content now, so much content, interviews with successful entrepreneurs. There's classes being broadcasted for life, for free everywhere. YouTube is massive. You know, I consume a lot of content on YouTube, and it's all either mindset or some sort of productivity or some sort of interview, something to do with business or success or something. And that's how I am rewiring and making new connections in my brain and learning new content.
I guess this kind of the flip side that comes to this is a lot of the time these YouTube adverts come up, and not just on YouTube, Facebook, whatever.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
A lot of these feel very much like get rich quick, scammy kind of. I don't know if any of you have I think one of you wanted to share a personal experience with some of these kind of scam ideas. What was it like for you?
Oh my Lord, they are beyond. So like for me, my first interaction with these get quick rich schemes was when I was it was like 4 years ago now. So it's like, I think just before I started university, just after college. And you know how like when you're going on Indeed and then you see those particular job specs that says you can earn like up to £1,000 a week, it's all self-taught, you have the freedom to travel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like they package it in this really cool way. And they didn't even name it the way that it was actually titled. So they named it like marketing rep or like salesperson, and they just sort of made it out to be a general job. So there I do turn up, send my application and everything, go up for the interview. And I'm literally taken aback and like as a naive, an 18-year-old, 19-year-old thinking, I'm just going to stick through it. Let's get some money out of this. Stayed a month and I left that job in a net loss of like £900. And I was like, why the hell did I even do any of that? Because they sell you this dream and you stay because they sort of coach you and groom you to be like, you know, this is what you're going to get if you just try hard enough.
And then the next step.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Kind of like ACN, Ponzi, kind of, you know, you're in.
Yeah.
Pay your phone.
So there's a lot of these things out there. And, you know, all these ads that come up, all these webinars, learn how to, I watch all of them. I might learn something.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have to go on and do it. I might learn something. So, and I have sometimes learned something that I implemented somewhere else and it's benefited my business or a project. And by the way, the skills you learn in business are phenomenal for organizations, dawah work, projects, youth work. These skills are very, very important. So I watch them. I watch all of them. And what usually happens, and most of them, to be honest with you, you need to make sure that whatever they're teaching, that others have gone through it and found success. Because I've experienced it myself. Before I started my property business, I looked at all of the different strategies out there. Then I identified the halal ones. Then I looked, okay, from these halal ones, which one is the one that can give me passive income in the long run? Then the next step for me was find a mentor, someone that can teach me, someone who has a course. Because why would I try and do it myself when somebody can teach me? It's 10 years worth of experience in 2 days. So we pay £1,000, £2,000, no problem, because I'm accessing that incredible information that it would take me 7 years to get by myself otherwise. Now, what's interesting, 30 of us on that course, a year on, guess how many people actually have a property business that successfully have at least one or two properties? Three of us. Now, is the course scammy, or is the problem with the students?
The students.
We all got the same information, same mentor, same training, same handbook, same notes, but 27 people flopped and three are doing okay, right? So who do you blame? Now, the person who flopped is going to go around saying that was a rubbish course. But then I would go around saying that was the best investment that I've made in the last 5 years. So you have to be, I understand that there's a lot of people selling scams and things like that, but that doesn't mean that everyone is scammy. Everyone's out there to waste your money. I actually believe that the majority of people are providing good value. You just have to be careful. One rule I have, I will never purchase a course until I have met students who have done the course and are successful. Mm-hmm.
So that's your kind of way of, you won't do the course unless someone has personally recommended it for you.
Person recommended it, or I can see that someone else has done it and benefited. Because I already know from experience, the majority of people won't succeed. Why? It's mindset again. It's mindset. They don't have the resilience for it. They don't have the enthusiasm for it. There's any small little problem, they get upset. Any small little hiccup, they go off track. They just don't have the persistence and the drive to stay on track. And I can see this with my eyes because we coach a lot of people. And a lot of these people have been on programs, and some of these programs I've been on myself. And so what's the difference is the mindset. Sometimes the experience helps. Mm-hmm. So just going back to this whole thing, yes, there are some dodgy things out there, and I know exactly what you're talking about because I applied for something similar, which, you know, sold this amazing dream of having your own franchise and this and that, and then when I go there, it's just a sales job, right? But I did it. Why? Because I recognized that I can learn something from these people, and I did it for 6 months. Mashallah, did very well and learned so much in that process that all my businesses benefited from that, and all the future businesses will do, because ultimately you have to learn before you earn. You gotta build the man or the woman first before you build the empire. And I think that's what we're missing.
I think
the education part.
I think when you touched about, you know, a mindset and how important it is to even how people say, for example, when it comes to practicing Islam, you know, having the right companions to help you practice Islam and making sure you're around a company of positive people. Likewise, when it comes to business and the mindset of business, because I remember ever since a young age, because I come from a family where, you know, my father has his business and he's always had this vision of like his whole kids, you know, taking over the business in the future. And when I was growing up, I was very reluctant. I was always rebellious. And I was like, no, I don't want to be part of your business because, you know, my friends are all doing this. And, you know how you mentioned like the whole schooling system tells you to kind of thingy. So in one hand, I've got my father telling me to do his thing, and then on the other hand, I've got this kind of schooling system that's telling me, you know, go fulfill your dream of becoming a worker or an employee kind of thing. And I think it's
I'll tell you a third thing to confuse you further, and that will be forget all of that and just think about what is the unique contribution that you want to make in your life.
Yeah.
That's it. Think about that. What's the unique contribution that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give, you know, look at all of the things that he's given you, the contacts, your skills, your talent, your teachers, your location, your circumstances. There will be something that inshallah can, will give you some direction as to what is the unique contribution that Allah wants me to make. And it may not be clear for everyone, but you have to have that at the back of your mind and constantly search for that thing. Because ultimately, I think that's a better way to look at it. Because but it could be that you go into the family business and absolutely hate it, and it could be that you go into employment and absolutely love it. But the bottom line is, you know, this very short, very precious life that we have, which we don't even know how long it is. Mm. What do we want to be doing when you wake up?
Yeah. I think, like, I guess in a way, only when I got to university and only when I kind of got involved with ISOC work, and I think this is one reason why I will kind of forever cherish Islamic work, which it was only because of kind of going through that process, I kind of realized first and foremost, ultimate purpose and ultimate fulfillment and your ultimate, you know, what you want to be doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what your contribution will be and what your legacy will be.
Absolutely.
I think that's what kind of pushed me away from the lifestyle of kind of being an employee and kind of going to the corporate world or going into the kind of the 30, 40, 50K salary lifestyle and actually think about, okay, I want to work on a few things. I want to work on, you know, financial freedom so that I'm able to do what I want to do and do whatever I actually want to do and actually kind of create that change. But I think, especially recently, you're surrounded by a lot of friends who are nowadays working from home as well. And they're all kind of talking about safety and security. Especially in recent times, because a lot of people, alhamdulillah, you know, who are in top jobs, they're able to kind of say that, you know, alhamdulillah, our jobs are secure and, you know, it's okay. And
biggest lie.
Oh, Lord. COVID-19 has proved that.
I was just going to say.
And just look at the statistics of how many layoffs have happened and are going to be happening very, very soon. Very soon, subhanAllah. But first misconception is that the job gives you security. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you security, nothing else. Mm-hmm. So the job itself is a false sense of security because anything can happen in the economy. Look what happened in the pandemic. Suddenly businesses, multi-billion pound businesses are shut. They're not operating. And yes, they're getting furlough for 3 months, but what's going to happen after those 3 months? There's going to be job losses. Well, how do you get financial security? We speak about this in our Money Mastery program, and that is by setting up multiple streams of income. Mm-hmm. And each one should cover your living expense. So if you need $3,000 a month to live a comfortable lifestyle, well, you should be focusing the day you leave uni is figure out how do I get 6 income streams that are going to pay me $3,000 each. Mm-hmm. Then you have financial security.
Look for those 6 at the same time, or would you say build maybe 1 or 2 and then over the years?
Absolutely. The method is build one, systemize it, automate it, move on to the next one. Systemize it, automate it, move on to the next one. And that's the reason why, you know, alhamdulillah, I'm blessed to really have this opportunity to work and channel my legacy and whatever, you know, may Allah accept it through Golden Touch. But I still got businesses on the side, which I'm not passionate about, but just for the financial security element. I'm doing this property thing, and I'm trying to do this publishing thing and a few other things. But you do one, you systemize it, automate it, free yourself up, and then move on to the next one, and then to the next one. So
what you're talking about is setting up 6 businesses. I mean, for most people, setting up one is hard enough.
Not necessarily a business, but an income stream.
Okay.
Now, and that doesn't necessarily, you could joint venture with someone. I know someone who basically funded a friend to start a I think it was a fish and chip shop in a seaside town. So that the friend is running everything. He's a silent partner and he makes enough passive income from that to not need to work.
The thing is kind of, going back to like the whole aspect of security, for example, because that was kind of going to build up to my next question. I think, you know, COVID has had a massive impact on, especially, you know, businesses. People who, you know, as you mentioned, even multi-million pound businesses have been hit quite badly. And the thing is, it might be that, you know, right now it's probably like the correct me if I'm wrong, and you probably might think about, is today right now like the worst time to actually start up a business, because, you know, with the risk of COVID, and how can someone actually try and be entrepreneurial when the pandemic is, you know, right
when the entrepreneurs are struggling?
Yeah.
Okay, so I genuinely, hand on heart, think this is a great time to start a business.
I mean, especially since the recession.
Let me tell you why.
First, investors and stuff.
Yeah, firstly, and when I say a business, it doesn't mean that you need to, you know, find a shop and, you know, you can, what you can just do is just start building your audience. So let's say, for example, I want to have my own healthy supplements, halal, sunnah-based healthy supplements, right? So this is the best time for me to do that. Why? Firstly, more people are consuming content. They're all sitting at home. A lot of people, they spend less time commuting and traveling, more time on their devices consuming content. So this is the best time to be producing content. And when you produce content for your, what happens is you start building your audience. Now, number one. Number two, there's less competition now. Because everybody thinks now is a bad time, other supplement companies or other people who have an idea to do the same thing as you are not moving forward.
Okay.
So that presents an opportunity. And number three, if you wanted to go all out and put some money in advertising, because no one else is spending on advertising right now, advertising is more effective and cheaper right now. So I would spend the next year, forget my product, just building an audience on healthy, organic, supplement-based interest type of audience. And a year from now, once I've got my 10,000 or 50,000 Instagram followers, that's when I would approach an investor, tell him, look, I've got 50,000 people who love my content, who are waiting for me to produce something for them. Give me 20K, get that 20K, get the stuff made, and then you launch it, and overnight you will make tens of thousands of sales because you have the audience.
I think so. Say, you know, you're talking to someone, or we have someone who's listening to us right now, and is starting to think about, okay, you know what, maybe it is actually a good idea to start thinking about a business. Does it matter who I am in terms of the kind of, you know, how you have like a customer profile? Let's just think about an entrepreneurial profile. Does it matter in terms of how young I am? Does it matter where I live? I mean, there's someone from, I know Birmingham, mashallah, you know, these guys are, you know, on another level, mashallah, but
we are very active.
It's bustling with business activity, mashallah.
So like, so does it matter, you know, how young you are? Does it matter about where you live? Because, you know, for example, you have, you know, certain, you know, hotspots around the world that are buzzing, like, you know, San Francisco, for example, the UAE, for example, places that are buzzing for new businesses. Does that matter?
I personally think it doesn't matter too much. Why? Because of the internet. You could be sitting anywhere and working on what delivering your value. So the main thing you need to worry about is what value am I bringing to the market? It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter how old you are, how beautiful you are, how rich or poor you are. You just got to bring some value to the market. That's really the bottom line. And, you know, business is very simple. You create value, you get paid. You want to be a millionaire, create £1 million worth of value. Help 1 million people. You'll become a millionaire as a byproduct of that. So again, these are
concepts. How do you determine value?
Value could be anything that benefits someone, helps someone, or solves a problem. So anything that solves a problem. Benefit, and this is why I think it's business is intrinsically Islamic. Because business basically means either benefiting people, providing a service or a product, or solving a problem. Both things are part and parcel of our Islamic ethos of the best of you are those who benefit others. So for me, if business is the best thing you could be doing apart from worship, you know, because the business can become direct worship. And you know, like, you know, we often tell people that, mashallah, you're working, you're providing for your family, mashallah, you get reward for that. Now imagine if you're providing for your family by doing something that benefits others. That's double reward, right? So if in my short life, I want to maximize my purpose, I want to maximize every opportunity and, you know, really try my best to get that pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I think you had a seminar like a couple months ago at the start of lockdown where you actually went through 100 business ideas that COVID is providing an opportunity for. So what kind of things did you come up with in terms of sectors that actually we can capitalize on and that maybe are going to be rising.
That was very interesting because it was the first time I did something like that. And it was literally a live brainstorming session with anyone who wanted to join, right?
Yeah.
And the first thing we did is list out every single problem, new problem that people are facing because of COVID. So children are at home. The groceries are an issue. Restaurants are closed. I've lost my job. I'm on furlough. Can't travel. I'm stuck somewhere. So we listed, I think, 55 different problems. Now, if you can find a solution for any one of those problems, you have a business on your hands. So let me give you an example. Kids are at home, stagnating, playing PlayStation, falling behind on their education. This is a great opportunity. If you're a teacher, this is a fantastic opportunity to start helping parents to keep the children engaged and learning in a way that the children are bored as well. So we actually took action on this. And as Golden Touch Academy, we started a completely new project aimed at teenagers. And we basically were delivering free web classes every other day for teenagers based on life mastery. So personal development, Islam, productivity, personal skills. Why did we do that? For free, because it allowed us to build an audience. So within 2 weeks, we had 300 children from all over the world, signed up. And then if you wanted to, we can switch that to a paid program. Yes, we've done 2 months for free. If you want to carry on, it's paid. And there you go. You suddenly now have £1,500, £2,000 a month worth of revenue in the middle of lockdown.
Mm.
Why? Because you're solving a problem for someone. Parents were desperate to find a way to keep the children engaged, and not just academically, but also learning these valuable new skills that, because everybody is in that mode of improving themselves in lockdown, right? So that was one example. Other examples, this is a real example of a brother who's in the business school, right? GCC and A-level students, their exam have been canceled. So they probably won't revise in the same way that they would have otherwise. And when they go to GCC students, when they go to A-level, the jump is going to be twice as hard for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a perfect opportunity. And a lot of students know this and are worried. This is the perfect opportunity for a math teacher to be like, hey, let me design a course to help you bridge that gap. Because this year is going to be the hardest for math students going into A-level.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's what he's working on. He's going to do 10 sessions for free to build the audience. And then he's going to offer a paid program for us. And that's a full-time working teacher who can do this on the side. And once he's done once, he can run it every year. And that's where the passive income element comes in. So do you see how every business idea is linked to a particular problem?
So I really like that. Now, let's start talking about some of the personal finance element of it, right? So yes, you can do a side hustle, but one of the things is some of the things that your job gives you, things like, for example, a pension, and kind of, you follow that very reasonable, very smooth trajectory that everyone kind of expects you to do. You get your job, you keep your pension plan, you maximize it, whatever. You're being financially responsible. You buy a house, so now you have a mortgage to pay. Then you get married. And then you have a kid, and now you've got all these things. So now you feel like, and again, this, I guess maybe you'll talk about it from a mindset perspective, but on a very real level, you feel like, I can't give up this job because it's income coming in and I need to have that. But also you're in this weird position where your income's coming in and the minute it comes in, it's gone.
And that's the very difficult situation 90% of people are in, unfortunately. Well, 95%, because the entrepreneurs is very small. It's a growing group, alhamdulillah. So, and this is why actually, anyone young, listening to this or watching this, if you're a student, you're in a golden window of opportunity. You don't have any responsibilities. You may not be paying rent from your own pocket. You may not have a spouse. You may not have a child. This is the time for you to set something up and work towards something. And that's basically the advice that I received, which is why I took the gap year, because I realized the minute I get the job, next thing is my mom's gonna try and get me married. then obviously that's a big expense and responsibility. Then probably gonna try and we're gonna try and get it on the property ladder, blah, blah. And before you know it, if you're not earning £2,000-£3,000 a month, you're stuck, which makes it harder for you to come out the system. It's called the golden handcuffs. The more money they give you, the more tied up you are in that system, because it becomes difficult to earn 5,000 from a business, for example, regularly, if you're doing it on the side. But if my expenses are only £500 a month or £1,000 a month, I can afford to give up the job and focus on this and then grow it. But one thing also we have to remember, your risk is predetermined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's something that I understood at uni, that whether I work for Islamic Relief or an investment bank, what's due for me will come. I will not die until every single last grain has reached me. And the risk comes in many different forms, many different forms. At one time I was working this job, I was earning £800 a month. And this was with, it's not a charity, but it was like a charity mission type of thing. A very low salary, fulfillment on a different level. You know, mashallah, it was basically ISOC work all over again, but on a professional level. And I'm getting this £800, which is barely nothing, but we're getting invited to deliver a program in Malaysia. We're getting invited to deliver something in Turkey. We're going to Portugal, all expenses paid. So this is also part of your risk. It's travel. I'm not paying for it. Someone else is, but this is part of your risk. So your bank balance, your salary, sometimes is not the only indication of the quality of life that you will experience.
I read a stat recently, I think it was MIT Sloan Business School, who talked about the average age of an entrepreneur is actually 42.
Wow.
Which I found very interesting, because I was like, I thought all entrepreneurs were like young guys.
Young.
I think that there's a massive, obviously, interest in entrepreneurship now, and more. We have 16-year-olds in our business school, can you believe it? And these guys are sharp. He sent me a document with 32 business ideas, and he analyzed every single one. Sharp, subhanAllah. There's a 15-year-old, we took him on as an intern. He emailed me, he was 15 years old, and he emailed me saying, I want financial freedom. I don't want to be stuck in the system. Can you help me? He hasn't even signed his GCSE exams. SubhanAllah. So yes, he's going to be younger and younger and younger. But traditionally, most business owners, if you line them all up in the UK, they're going to be middle age plus. And
why do you think that is?
Probably because in the last 20, 30 years, there's been such an emphasis on education.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because of that. And interestingly, and we teach this in the Money Mastery program as well, which 5% of people are entrepreneurs, and they're the ones that own 90% of the wealth. What does that mean? How is that possible? And are we missing a trick? You know, if we are talented enough to, mashallah, go to a good uni, get a good degree, get a good job. Imagine if we channel that talent into trade and business with someone's mentorship. Don't do it by yourself. It's going to take you 10 times longer, and it's going to be 10 times more expensive. Find a mentor. I recently joined a program, a productivity program, with a 21-year-old. So he's a high-performance coach. He's only 21. But I'm willing to learn from him. Why? Because he's got 5 mentors, and he's been with them for the last 6 years, and they're all multimillionaires, and he is on a different level. He's running 4 businesses, waking up at 4 a.m. every day, working out, making time for church, making time for his family, and I want to learn from him. I want to learn from him, no problem. So age is no longer a factor anymore, but your learning is who you're learning from and how much you're learning.
You mentioned an interesting thing about sleep. Sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say, where do you find those mentors? I mean, I'm looking for one as well. Yeah, you can have YouTube, but there's nothing like this interaction.
I was following his YouTube channel for some time.
Okay.
And then he obviously they sometimes have a program, a coaching program or a website or something. And I must have attended a webinar, and next thing I know, I paid $500 for that. But in terms of where to find mentors, I get this question all the time, subhanAllah, which is why part of the business school is that we have all of the mentors under one roof. If you want to do e-commerce, we've got someone for e-commerce. And when I say someone, I mean a Muslim, conscious Muslim entrepreneur who's an expert in that field, and he's happy and willing to teach the rest of us. So I'm trying to stop that.
That scares a lot of people. Like, a lot of Muslims are like, well, actually, Forex is very difficult to go into, drop shipping, very difficult to go into. Yeah. So all these things, and you're just like, oh my God, Sharia, Sharia, you know what, I'm going to leave this and stick to my...
It's very overwhelming, which is why I think someone needs to simplify these things. And one of our latest YouTube videos on our channel was literally online halal income simplified. The only thing you need to be able to make an income from a laptop, just one thing, forget everything else. That was the core message. And that one thing, you gotta watch the video. No, I'm joking.
That's your sales pitch.
The one thing is having an audience. There's this quote that I read in a newspaper once that someone said that having a audience on social media is more valuable than a Cambridge degree. I was blown away by that. And if you think about it, it's true, because you know, if you have a healthy social media following and you're able to monetize that, you then go and do whatever you want to do with your life. And there's some of you may have seen my recent post on LinkedIn that this YouTuber that I like following, he travels the world just to eat.
Yes.
The world just to eat, and he just takes a camera with him. He documents everything, and he's got 6.5 million subscribers, billions of views, which basically means he's on healthy seven-figure income per year. Doing what? Eating.
And he's not the only one. There's a lot of them.
Yeah. And
so how do these people get in these positions? Like, you know, like to travel. I like to eat.
Absolutely. So what you have to, I don't want to make it sound easy. It's very difficult. Why? Try making a video every week of your life. That's not
easy. Yeah.
Recording it, the idea, the concept, the editing is hard work. But it still allows him, you know, they're still working. I mean, if you wanted to, you could outsource it. So some of these guys actually have a whole team with them now. Somebody will follow them with the camera. Someone else will do the editing. Someone else will do this. So they just basically are the protagonist. But it's hard work. It's dedication, consistency. Our YouTube channel is not growing as much because I'm not consistent with it, unfortunately.
It's building that discipline.
Discipline, consistency, right? So it's still work, but they enjoy doing that. Whereas, and they probably enjoy it a little bit more than, you know, their previous jobs. And some of these guys, you know, had other jobs and then decided to do something different and took a risk. And 9 years on, it paid off big time. It paid off big time. When I look at them, I'm like, okay. And when I look at some of people that I've met who are financially free, I'm like, as Muslims, we should have the life that you have, which basically means I have no worry about money. Any project I want to do, I can put money towards. Anywhere I want to go in the world to visit, contribute, and help, I can go. I have plenty of time and money and resources to donate and put to good use. Why don't we have that? We need more of that. So, and the key is entrepreneurship. Yeah.
Thing is, you know, we've talked about various different concepts when it comes to entrepreneurship. You know, we talked about mindset, for example. We talked about habits. We talked about hard work. I want to ask you yourself, and even just kind of general advice to others as well. How has entrepreneurship in generally, how has it changed you as a person? Because you also mentioned, for example, how business is also Islamic as well. But how has it, for example, made you a better Muslim, a better, you know, and just a better person as a, you know, in terms of your habits? And is this something which is intended by business? And is this something that you'd also kind of recommend that, you know, it should be changing you? You know, things like the habit of your sleeping pattern to productivity and stuff.
It is, the truth is, it is what you make of it. So imagine suddenly, you know, you go from having to work in an office to suddenly you set your own schedule. So if I want to, tomorrow I could sleep till 12, no problem. But to get stuff done and to keep the projects going and to help more people, it's probably a good idea if I wake up a bit earlier than that. And so you have to be more self-motivated. You have to be more self-disciplined because there's nobody looking over your shoulder. There's nobody checking what time you're clocking in. There's none of that. So there's two dangers here with not having that routine and that oversight. One danger is that you become completely lazy and completely out of sync, and you're basically working at 3 a.m. and then sleeping in the afternoon and just completely mess up your routine, which has happened. Or the other thing is that you're working and then you're basically struggling. You're not doing enough work because your routine is bad, your productivity is bad, and you know, you're in your room, there's no colleagues. If you want to watch Netflix, you can. No one's going to say nothing. So your basically productivity and output is very low. The other danger, and I've seen this happen, and I think I'm in that camp potentially, is that because the business means so much to you and the mission means so much to you, and because you enjoy it so much, that you just work yourself to the bone. And, you know, before this podcast, I've had a very long day, a lot of calls, I was really tired, and I'm like, man, I'm going to need some coffee. But I'm not drinking coffee because my productivity coach said not to drink coffee after 5 o'clock. Yeah. But now that we're speaking, my energy level is right up here, and I could speak with you for the next 5 hours, no problem. Right.
But so again, it's like 9 p.m. right now. So you've been working all day. And then, you know, we're going to take this to what, like Maghrib time or something. Yeah. So how do you balance that with like family time? And kind of that's the point of a lot of people look at entrepreneurship as, you know, I'm never going to work. I'm just going to be. Mm-hmm.
This is the danger where, like, this is why I call it a problem and a danger, that you can end up working too much if you're not careful. So this is why I recognize this as a problem. And I now have a productivity coach. So we're completely redesigning my schedule. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to stop working around 4 o'clock from now on, because really and truly, I don't really need to work more than 5 hours a day.
Okay.
On my laptop. Really and truly. What happens is, oh, you procrastinate a little bit, or you start answering emails that don't need to be answered, and then you start responding to messages that don't need to be responded. So there's a lot of inefficiencies in the day. But the key message I have, and when I say we, is myself and my mentor, Ustad Usman, who is the co-founder of Golden Touch, is business is not the be all and end all. It's just a facilitator for what? Number one, more impact, more mission, legacy type of life. Number two, more flexibility. So our motto is freedom and flexibility for the more important things in life. So if business is taking over, and I've been in that position, I've worked 18 hours a day, 7 days a week in a business. In the early days, I've done it. 2 years ago, I slept in a tuition center for 2 nights because there was just so much going on. And I've seen friends of mine, mentors of mine, completely burn out and end up in hospital because they're just so on it. And they're not thinking about their fitness, their health. And the children sometimes. So we need a more balanced narrative around entrepreneurship. And that's what I'm hoping that we can provide for our Muslim community, which is why I think there needs to be a separate place for discussing entrepreneurship for Muslims. Because for us, our prayers are important, our family, you know, we have responsibilities and duties towards many things and many people. We can't fall short on those for the sake of business. Doesn't matter how noble your business is and how much charity you plan to give, you can't compromise on your prayers, your family, your parents, your children, your spouses, your siblings, your body, your health.
Yeah, because they all have rights over you.
Absolutely. So, you know, we're very big on balance. And again, in the Money Mastery, we speak about this. We get everybody to do a Wheel of Life exercise, where we basically score every important area of your life: relationships, finances, health, business, your husband and wife relationship. And then you score yourself to see where do we need to do a little bit of work on to bring a better balance. So very important question. And I'm working on that myself. I went from one extreme to the other. When my son was born in November, I took 2 months off work, did nothing. And a normal paternity leave for an employee is 2 weeks. I was off for 9 weeks. And then I was struggling to get back into the routine of things. Then I got a coach. And now I'm on the other end where I'm business is really, mashallah, going somewhere. I'm really enjoying it. There's so much to do, so much I want to do that I'm just doing a bit too much and not thinking about myself. So now, alhamdulillah, I'm in a much better routine.
How does this affect different kind of, so there's a big kind of, I guess maybe in your experience at Golden Touch, like how many men and women do you see? But also, do you think generally out there in the entrepreneurial world, a lot of the examples we hear, a lot of the time they seem to be guys, and a lot of the time, actually, I listen to this podcast called How I Built This, where they bring on a lot of kind of entrepreneurs who've built something that that we recognize. And one of the things they always like, business seem to break up marriages, although to be fair, maybe jobs do that as well. But also, it seems to be a lot more guys. Do you think there's something specific? Do you think it's something specific in our culture? Or do you think it's actually like global and it's not just, happening to Asians and Arabs?
I think that's pretty much across the spectrum. If you just go and do a quick search now, top 100 entrepreneurs or Forbes.
I think there's like four or six who are women, that's it.
There's a similar thing with CEOs, similar thing with senior directors in the city. There's always this imbalance, gender imbalance, which there's so many, you know, explanations or reasons for. But it's certainly something we need to do more work on as a community, because our sisters and mothers, more than anyone else, could do with a bit of financial freedom. Mm-hmm. Imagine if they didn't need to worry about working, they didn't need to worry about bills, they didn't need to worry about what happens if something, God forbid, happens to my husband. I think, and this is the second video we ever produced on YouTube, was a message directly to sisters that please plan for your own personal financial future. Don't spend 20 grand on a wedding. Invest that money and build some assets and some incomes for yourself. So then, you know, if you want to take time off to be with your child, you can. There's no compulsion or need to go back to work. If something, God forbid, happens to your husband, you're not going to be stuck. And money, by the way, is a big problem in relationships, that money dynamic, especially when one partner has control over the money or brings in the money. And it's almost like the other, you can leverage it against the other partner. So,
it's a leading cause of divorce, right? Money matters, financial problems.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I've seen that in my own parents' life. Money was the biggest thing that, you know, used to cause issues. And it led to, 20-something years of arguments and eventually in divorce. So I know...
I mean, you mentioned how women... Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, you mentioned how women don't have, well, should sort of be encouraged to make their own financial streams of income. But the thing is, though, how can they develop that financial literacy if they don't have it already? Because it's easy to start a business and everything, but you can fall into the trap of failing in it without the correct mentor and also without the proper financial education.
Absolutely, which is why, you know, for us, the bulk of our work is education. Hence, we're called an academy. And it's called the Business School and the Golden Touch Academy, because it's all about education. And we're trying our best. You know, it would be good to get more people involved. And I'm partnering up with different people in this space. So at the moment, we're doing a joint program with a student of knowledge to deliver a specific course for students of knowledge who want to learn how to make an income so that they can then go and study and not have to worry about funding and money and expenses. So the next project for me is to find a successful entrepreneur sister, Muslim sister, family woman, and I know quite a few of those, alhamdulillah, we're already building relationships with them, to then let's design a program that our sisters can go through to get the foundational mindsets and understanding about business. And then after that, they can be supported through our business school. Our community, they can be supported in that whole journey, and that's kind of the way we're trying to do, is to be able to provide that education and knowledge and acumen and sort of almost a re-education process. And for me, that re-education process took 3 years, and I intentionally spent 3 years working in other people's businesses, sometimes for very little, sometimes for nothing, just to re-educate myself and to invest in myself and build the person before you build the empire. So it doesn't need to take that long and it doesn't need to be that expensive. So I'm trying to basically, you know, make it as convenient as possible to gain that knowledge, and that can be helpful. Of course, I can't guarantee somebody will be successful, but it'll be very helpful, inshallah.
When you're talking about a mindset recalibration, do you recommend that, for example, someone's already married, that they come together to the course as a couple? Or do you think it's a, because I guess this could cause, like, if one's party in a relationship is on this, you know, money mastery hype, and they're like, you know what, I'm going to quit my job and take a risk and go for entrepreneurship because I see this larger goal, and the other side just don't see it because they're in the, I want a job and a pension and a kind of.
Totally. So we have a special discount for couples because you have to have the same transformation together. Otherwise, it can cause big problems. And by the way, we never say start a business and then quit your job. Mm. We say stay in your job, start something on the side, something that's in line with your long-term goal, passion, strengths, whatever. We have 4 different levels of how you actually find a business idea. Stay in your job, start something on the side, grow it slowly, slowly, and eventually there will be a tipping point. Even then, I would say don't quit your job. I would say keep saving, saving, saving. Whatever money comes from the business, save, 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 save. Build a massive emergency fund, rainy day fund. Now you're in a position to quit. Why? You've got a massive emergency fund and your business is generating enough, maybe more than your business, than your job. Now you're in a position to quit. So let's play it. Let's be pragmatic and responsible about this. Let's not just be like, okay, I've had enough. Here's my resignation. Off I go.
See you later.
Yeah.
I think, as you mentioned, by the way, moments ago, we could actually literally talk about this for like 5 hours straight.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And definitely, I think yourself, you know, as an individual, you know, we can kind of benefit from for a lot more. And I think one thing you mentioned about legacy as well is that, you know, sometimes you don't even see it. And I think likewise with yourself specifically, may also find reward you, because I'm sure that you've inspired a lot of people that you don't even know that you've, you know, people who haven't even enrolled to any of your courses, but have just heard about you and your work that are getting inspired, inshallah. So I think, definitely there's a huge point about legacy and whatnot. I think just the one final point to kind of talk about before we start wrapping up, which is, you know, what do I do now as a person is, you know, listening to this? We mentioned some very good points about, you know, kind of monetizing your hobbies, for example, or you know, having a following. And you mentioned that it's better to have, you know, X number of followers than to have a Cambridge degree. And that is really what even a lot of people start thinking about. You know, oh, I don't have any money for investment in the first place. So, what do I do? How can I actually make that step? How can I actually go on about doing it all? You know, what do I start up a business in? So what, you know, what would be the next steps from listening to this kind of, standing up to your courses as well?
Yeah, no, of course it goes without saying that, you know, if you're serious about this stuff, then, you know, come and join the community and, you know, or go look for a community or a mentor that can help you. So you have to take some steps. You have to take some, you have to be proactive. Now, when it comes to business, and this has been a journey for myself, I used to think it doesn't matter about passion and all this stuff. If something works, just do it, get your money, and then build the next one. But as my own journey, is unfolding and I'm growing myself, I'm realizing the importance of passion in business. It's so key. And if you can, blend passion with the talent that you have, and by the way, we all have a gift. If you think you don't, then maybe you haven't discovered it yet, but Allah has given all of us a very unique gift. So when you can merge the two, that's when the magic happens and that's where your business opportunity is. Mm. And today we live in a world where you don't necessarily need to sell anything to anyone to make a living. Because, you know, if you have a million YouTube subscribers, you don't need to sell them anything. YouTube is paying you for the ads, right? So the key is, what is my micro niche? What is my contribution? What is my unique value add, right? So when I did that exercise of passion overlapping with my skills or talents or strengths, the overlap was business, something that I absolutely love and something that I am passionate about. The thing, there's the Muslim was in the middle there, because those are the people that I love and I like to help. And the other thing in there was support and coaching. So guess what I'm doing now for the rest of, inshallah, for whatever, however long I have left, this is what I'm focusing on. Business, Muslim, coaching, help. And I'll be quite frank with you, this could very easily be a multi-million pound business. Very easily, because, you know, how many billion Muslims are on the planet? Let's just say, all you need, by the way, is 1,000 customers that love everything that you do. If 1,000 customers, you know, are paying you £50 a month, do the maths. That's 50 grand a month, right? And I don't think it's going to be difficult for me to find 1,000 young Muslim professionals across the globe who are interested in learning more about business. Mm-hmm. So imagine, you know, you can apply this model to anything. You know, if you're passionate about empowering a particular gender, a particular age group, if you're passionate about, one brother's doing, his business concept is teaching people how to be self-sufficient in terms of growing your own produce. I thought that's a brilliant idea. I'll be his first customer, because I definitely, in this lockdown, is one of the things I was thinking about. He's very passionate about it. He's doing it. And, you know, I can see him doing very well on an Instagram page where, you know, he's documenting his journey. People are watching. And next thing you know, he can start selling some seeds. He can start selling a program to teach you the basics of it. He can sell an ebook. He can sell coaching if somebody wants to do one-on-one coaching with him. He can do a retreat abroad. Charge so there's so much opportunity, subhanAllah. It's really unreal, and that's where I hope more people can have the courage to really seize the opportunity. That the time we live in right now, absolutely phenomenal. You know, you can reach, we have more computing power on our in our hands than, you know, presidents of massive nations had 20 years ago, 30 years ago. We have more power, more computing power in our hands. You know, I can reach 1 million people from this device, million people within 10 minutes. That is unprecedented, really unthinkable, the times we live in. So how can we sell a year of our life for £50,000? To me, it doesn't make sense.
And is there anything that you'd kind of recommend as well, to our listeners, both in terms of books, for example, that you've stumbled across, or even your program as well?
I'm really big on reading and self-development. So inshallah, we cover a lot of those things. This is what I'm reading right now. You probably think I'm bluffing, but this is what I'm reading right now. It's literally right here. So marketing.
Very nice. Seth Godin.
Amazing. So story worthy.
I want to read Seth Godin's one.
Very nice.
Very, very good. This is marketing. So these are things that basically, not only am I reading, but I'm studying them and then teaching them in the business school. So the idea is that, you know, you don't have to go through and spend 5 hours reading a book to really get the juice of it. And the idea is that I'm able to, you know, share that in an hour with thousands and thousands of people right there and then. So number one, read. Inshallah, whoever's listening who wants some recommendations, feel free to drop me a message on our website or on LinkedIn or whatever. I have a specific list based on what it is that you're looking for. Definitely read Rich Dad Poor Dad. Definitely read there's a few really good ones that I how to influence people, how to win friends and influence people. That was life-changing for me. I read that when I was ISOC president, and it was a game changer, subhanAllah. As young leaders, you also want to read this book. Where is it?
That's really
11 leadership qualities that changed the world. So I spent 3 years with him building the, you know, teaching this stuff around the world and building the business. And, you know, Allah took him back early. So, you know, he passed away a year ago, but alhamdulillah, his legacy is still with us. And this, the knowledge in this book is what allowed me to literally take our ISOC from something no one heard of in campus to becoming the number one ISOC society award-winning society on campus where other people would come to us for advice and help and support during campaigns and all that sort of stuff. So this was it. And it's sold directly from the best man to have ever walked this earth, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these few books, I think your audience will benefit from. They're not particularly business related, but they will start changing that in their minds, their mindset, inshallah.
I think this has been, wow, almost, a whole thing to take in, but...
Inshallah, that's a lot. Imagine spending 2 days with us, that you're going to be fried by the end of it.
You're
going to be done.
This episode itself has definitely been a very good advert for that and something I'll definitely consider. And I think, Thaqib, what do you think about, offering a premium rate for the Middle West podcast?
Yes, this is one of the things from our perspective. I think maybe we need a special session with you on how we're doing generally, like, I think in our lives, but also as a podcast project.
I would love to, because you are the people that have that potential to go on and do some incredible stuff. And if I can play a small role in maybe putting you on that path or giving a bit more clarity or being a catalyst, that would be one of the, greatest achievements that I can hope for, right? So I'm more than happy. I have all the time in the world for people like yourselves who are doing good things, fi sabilillah. And inshallah, keep creating content, inshallah. And also study what other podcasts are doing, other successful podcasts. What are they doing that gets them that growth? Because ultimately, you want thousands of people to listen to your podcast, right? So we need to learn how we get that out there, inshallah khair. And you will, inshallah, you will.
To all of our listeners and viewers, this is the reason why this is the last ever free episode. Next few episodes will now forever be on subscription.
That's it.
No, don't worry. We're not monetizing yet. It's fine. Don't panic.
But yeah, no worries. Once again, Jazakallah khair. I think, as you mentioned earlier on as well, prayer comes first with everything. Some of you guys do actually need to go pay Maghrib. For me, Maghrib is at the moment, about an hour away because I'm currently in Scotland. So.
Oh, mashallah.
But yeah, originally from Tower Hamlets, just like yourself. So.
I live in Ilford at the moment.
Astaghfirullah, you moved.
I've never been in Tower Hamlets, but I do love Tower Hamlets. I had an amazing time in Tower Hamlets. One of my early businesses, two early businesses were in Tower Hamlets. So I'm very close to the community there, mashallah.
This is why London's the best city in the world. But anywho, so with that, we'll kind of wrap up, inshallah. Jazakallah khair once again for coming on. And to all of our listeners and viewers, I think, feel free to listen to us on Spotify, on iTunes, on literally everything. We're on YouTube. We're on Instagram. So please do follow us on Instagram. We're on Twitter at the Middle West PC. Also do feel free to drop us email. At podcast@themiddlewest.co.uk if you have any suggestions. We do actually listen to your comments and read your emails, so we don't just say that for the sake of it. Mashallah, we do actually listen and we do try our best to implement some of your feedback. Jazakallah khair for listening, and Assalamu alaikum.
Stay blessed. Jazakallah khair.
Assalamu alaikum.